a text for our message this morning from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 25 to 32, I will read for you. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What is edifying speech? How we thank God that we are created in God's image. And being created in the image of God, we are not like the animals. The animals can make noise or make noises. But we as human beings made in the image of God have a voice. And this voice that we have, we can use to make words in order to express our thoughts and our feelings. There's something the animals don't have. And what a powerful faculty we have. The ability to speak. The ability to communicate. And so, dear friends, it is very important for us to make sure that we use this ability to the glory of God and for the benefit of God's people. And this ability to speak is a powerful faculty to build up and to tear down. As Christians, we need to learn. We need to learn to use our speech to encourage that which is good and godly. And then to discourage that which is sinful and wicked and evil. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 and verse 29. It says here, verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. In verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So what is the meaning of edification? What does it mean to edify? Now the word edify is commonly used by believers, by Christians, because it is a word that is found in our Bible, in the Holy Scriptures. It is a biblical term. It is used 20 times in the New Testament. And in the original, the word edify literally means to build a house, to build a house. And when it is used with reference to how we speak, it has to do with building up our faith. Building up our faith in Christ and in His Word, right? Now the problem today is that this word edification or edify is misunderstood and misapplied. Oftentimes it is misused and abused. How often, you know, have we heard people saying or dismiss something they hear when it does not suit them, when it does not please them? They say, oh, that is very unedifying. That is a very unedifying speech. Just because they do not like what they hear. Especially when they are rebuked, when they are corrected, when their error is exposed. Oh, that's very unedifying speech. I don't like to hear this. And so they write it off and dismiss it as unedifying. Have we done that before? I pray not. Today, when people come to church, very often they come to church with man-centered thoughts and feelings, rather than God-centered, Spirit-centered, or Word-centered. We find the church very much in the world today, and the world very much in the church. And so how do people grow the church today? If we want our church to grow and be big, well, we must adopt the ways of the world, learn from the world. We must, from the pulpit, say things that people want to hear. It's a market-driven society. And the church also must be market-driven. And we must adopt this worldly philosophy. The consumer is king. And insofar as the church is concerned, the congregation is king. Not Christ is king. Members of the church, they are king. Give them what they want to hear. Something that will please them. Make them feel good about themselves. How many of us come to church wanting to be pepped up and to hear a pep me up speech? You can hear a lot of this from these motivational gurus. They have the gift of the gap. They are able to make you feel good about yourself. All this self-love and self-esteem teaching that is coming, you know, into the church, that comes from the world. You're hearing a whole lot of such speeches. I don't call these sermons, but speeches in the church. And if you have come to this church so that you might hear something that will make you feel good about yourself, for your flesh to be excited, then you have come to the wrong church. You have come to the wrong place. I've been to some of these churches, mega churches, and then I find that the members leave the church full of sweat, full of perspiration, because a whole lot of excitement, jumping and dancing, a whole lot of excitement. They leave the church with a whole lot of perspiration and sweat. I rather see people leaving the church not full of sweat, but full of tears. Realizing how sinful we are, how we have disobeyed the Lord and failed the Lord in our life. With a heart full of contrition, we confess our sins. And then we get right with God. And God shows mercy. And He forgives us of our sin. And then our hearts are comforted, leaving the sanctuary with tears because our sins have been forgiven. And we are so sorry for all the wrong we have done against our Lord. And it's only edifying speech or edifying sermons that would achieve that, that would do that. Let us not have what I call a Pepsi attitude, in our lives, coming to church, to just want to crave for this pep me up talk or speech, to make me love myself more, to make me feel good about myself. Well, this is what the world craves for, but this is not what God is offering to the world at all, and neither should we. And did not the Lord say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and he warned us in the end times, people will be like this, right? This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, full of greed, right? Boasters, proud, blasphemers. And problem is, today we find a whole lot of such people in the church, wanting to hear things that would cause them to love themselves more, to be more proud and boastful, and they do things that are contrary to the Holy Scriptures. And so in order to protect ourselves, and to protect the church from end-time, man-centered, and man-exalted philosophies, right, and worldviews, the Lord has commanded all faithful ministers of the gospel to do this. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 to 3, we read, Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We don't want to preach in such a way that your ears will be tickled. We want to preach in such a way when your heart will be pricked, and then you will know how to get right with God and be reconciled to Him. And this calls for edifying speech. Speech that will build up. Words that will build up, that will also tear down all the falsehood, all the sins, all the iniquities, all the obstacles that are obstructing us, hindering us from drawing close to the Lord. We must tear all these down. And words that will build up our faith in the Lord, that will cause us to love the Lord more and more, right? Hate ourselves and our sin, and love the Lord more and more, so that we might receive healing from the Lord in our lives. And so in Ephesians 4:25 and 29, we are told that for our speech to be edifying, that will build up, that will build us up in the most holy faith, and will cause us to love the Lord Jesus Christ more and more, it must be truthful, all right? So what is edifying speech? Firstly, edifying speech is truthful speech. Speech that is full of truth. In Ephesians chapter 4:25, we read, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, this statement must be read in the context of the previous verses. For in verses 20 to 24, we are told, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Take note, the truth is in Jesus, alright? That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So here, edifying speech, that we must use words that edify. This injunction is given and addressed to believers, those who have put on the new man. Okay, we are no more the old man that is outside of Christ. We are the new man now in Christ and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Regenerated, born again, sanctified, cleansed. And so with a new man, we must also have new speech. We don't speak like the old man. We speak like the new man that is in Christ. And as much as, you know, and this putting on and putting off is significant. It's like, you know, taking off our old dirty clothes, putting on new and clean clothes. Today, as believers, those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ have put on a new uniform. We are no longer wearing our old uniform that identifies ourselves with the world, with the kingdom of the devil. We are now in the kingdom of God and we have a new uniform, a Christian uniform. You know, in the papers we read recently how criminals in prison with all their tattoos, well, why do they have all their tattoos? Well, that is their past life, you see, involved in secret societies and gangsterism and in crime, and they have all these tattoos. So that is their uniform. But now, after they go through prison life, they are rehabilitated. They want to turn over a new leaf. I don't want all these marks anymore. So the prisons get all these doctors to come to remove all the tattoos, and they promise we will not, once we are released, we will not put them back on. Right? No more tattoos. Well, that is what it means. Similarly, we who are believers, now born again, we want to remove all these tattoos. We don't wear them anymore. We don't identify with the world anymore. We put on a new uniform. And the policemen will have their uniform. And the policemen, when they put on their uniform, they must behave like policemen. Right? Law enforcement officers, they must behave in that way. They must speak in that way. So we who are believers, who have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, must speak like our Lord and Savior. And the words of our Lord and Savior, they are truth, they are life. They edify. They will build up. And we must adopt this kind of a speech. And since Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, so must we also, our speech must also be characterized by truth, by truthfulness. That's how we edify and build one another up. So what is the truth that we must speak? And it must surely be the Word of God, first and foremost. May our words be filled with God's Word, and words that agree with God's Word. And that's edifying speech. And the Word of God is a means of grace. The Word of God is what God uses to sanctify us, to cleanse us, to purify us, to change our hearts and our minds to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And that's why Jesus prayed in his prayer to his Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Right? And so every preacher who delivers God's word from the pulpit must ensure that he preaches the truth and not falsehood or error. And for the truth to build up the faith of the saints and would cause them to love God more and more, love the Lord Jesus Christ more and more, then it must be the words of truth. So that they may know God truthfully and accurately and fully, not, you know, falsely or inaccurately. But when we know God truly and fully, who He is, what we are, then we know how to walk with Him, to relate with Him. And that will build us up in the faith, because God blesses such a life, you see. Heresies, errors, and lies or falsehood, on the other hand, will only tear a person away from the Lord Jesus Christ and cause him to have a low view of the Word of God. Heresies and falsehoods and lies is very unedifying. They are destructive, because it will tear you away from your God and from your Savior and from His Word. It's very sad and very troubling that people, and we are talking about Christians, believers, who claim to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying that they believe that the Bible is 100% perfect without any mistake, because God has not only perfectly inspired His words, but perfectly preserved His words. And we can be sure and certain precisely where the words are, so that we might live by every word of God with all confidence. This kind of a teaching and doctrine is heresy. And if you teach this and you talk about this, it is very unedifying, they say. Have you heard that before? I've heard that many, many times. It's very, very disturbing how Christians today think of what is edifying speech and what is not edifying. The doctrine of verbal plenary preservation. Is it a heresy? What is a heresy? A heresy is any and every doctrine or teaching that will tear you away, separate you, cause you to stray away from your God and your Savior. A heresy is any teaching or doctrine that will cause you to have a lower view or a diminished view of Christ and His Word. That is a heresy. The doctrine of the perfect preservation of the words of God to the jot and tittle, does it tear you away from the Lord Jesus Christ? Or does it cause you to have the highest view of God, that our God is all-powerful? He's not only all-powerful to preserve us, He who has called us and made us His children, He is able and all-powerful to save us and to preserve us unto the very end, so that none will be lost. We believe that, don't we? And it gives glory to God. Our salvation is none of our work, but all the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, who is able to keep and to preserve our souls to the very end, so that on the last day we will be resurrected and raised up as the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And if the Lord can do that, surely He is all powerful to preserve His inspired words, which began perfect, and surely it continues to be perfect and will be perfect until the very end. He is able and powerful to preserve His words. And such a doctrine surely gives glory to God. Doesn't it? And causes you to worship God, who is all powerful and all knowing. Does it not? It is the truth. As taught in the scriptures, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times, thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them. All the words of the scriptures. For how long? Forever. Jesus said, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. That's why we believe that today we have a 100% infallible, inerrant, perfect Bible without any mistake, which is the truth for a world that is so postmodernistic. There's no such thing as truth. Nobody can know where truth is. Truth can be anything and everything. Now, that's the world that we live in today. There's no objective truth. But the Bible says, truth is right here. Thy word is truth. Jesus is truth. And you want to know the truth? You must know the Lord Jesus Christ. You must humble yourself before Him and be obedient and must be believing when He speaks to you in His word, because His words are very edifying words. It will tear you down. You are nothing. You are hopeless and you're helpless. And then it will build you up when you believe in the good news that only Jesus says, and will heal you of your sin and cause you to be a child of God. You see? So please understand this. Please take note of this. How we must continue. We must not fight shy. There are people who want to silence the doctrine of the present perfection of the Scriptures, the perfect preservation of the Scriptures. We cannot keep quiet, because if we do, we keep silent. Then the foundations, once removed, where are we going to stand? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And do nothing. We have no more words that can build up and edify a church that will bring healing to our soul and life even to our bones, right? So please take note. And sometimes when we speak, we must rebuke and correct error and warn. Proverbs 27 verse 6 tell us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Do you have such a friend? Treasure such a friend who is sincere, honest, truthful enough to tell you straightforwardly your fault, your error, so that it's for your own good. A person who tells you all these things has nothing to benefit for himself. He may even risk your friendship, but he's willing to risk that friendship for your benefit, for your profit, because it's good for you. He thinks of you, you see. And if you are on the receiving end, well, be very thankful and be appreciative that you have such friends, because such friends are not easy to come by, really. Because many people are your friends only because they can get something out of you. They can exploit you, take advantage of you. Then they are your friend. Do you have true friends? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. They edify. But the kisses of an enemy, they are deceitful. For a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. What is edifying speech? Edifying speech is truthful, honest speech. Unedifying speech will be speeches that would flatter, all right? These are lies, telling you things, all right, that you like to hear when it's not true. This is deception, deceptive, deceitful words. And how we enjoy? Do we enjoy when people flatter us? Don't. Be very discerning. The only way is you know yourself, what you are, who you are in relation to God. So that when people flatter you, you are discerning. No, that's not true. Don't say these things of me. I know what I am. Praise God and give all glory to God. Right? And be very discerning. And may the preacher also never be a flatterer. Say things are okay when they are not okay. When to say there is peace when there is no peace. And Proverbs 28 verse 23 tells us, "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue." Okay? Why? Because that is edifying speech. Right? It will build up. And sometimes, in order to build up, we must tear down that which is unholy, which is bad, which is evil, and then to build up that which is good and godly, right? And pure and biblical from the scriptures. So, the first thing about edifying speech is that it must be truthful. Second thing about edifying speech that we find here in Ephesians is that it must be uncorrupted. It must be uncorrupted. Verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4, we are told, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now the word corrupt here, has the idea of something bad. Corrupt speech. And so we should not use our mouth and use our tongue to lie, right? To gossip, to slander, to backbite, to flatter. All these things are corrupt speeches, corrupt speaking. Make sure we do not speak lies. We do not gossip. We do not slander. We do not backbite. We do not deceive by flatteries, right? And often what we say reveals what is inside of us, what is in our heart. And we are told to put off the old man, and we are now the new man. And the new man must be characterized by Christ-like speech, right? And if we are not speaking like this, but our speech is always characterized by lies, dishonesties, falsehood, right, slanders, then we better examine ourselves and check. Because these are symptoms of a spiritual disease. We are still very, very sick. Maybe not even born again yet. Better check. Am I truly a believer? How can I tell? Sometimes we must train to hear ourselves. Often we know how to hear others out, all right, to listen to others. It's important also to hear ourselves, right? What comes out from my mouth, I better listen also. I have 2 ears. Listen twice. And we listen in order to check our own hearts, because what we say is a reflection of the condition of our heart. Is it a healthy heart or a sickly heart? Is it truly a Christian heart or a heart that is still, all right, in the flesh, unregenerate, and of the devil? We have to check. Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, all right, the mouth speaketh." Matthew 12:34. And in another place, Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Now this is not to say that, you know, every time we speak, it will be pure words, or we can never sin in our speech, even when we are believers. Sometimes we do sin with our speech, with our words. But then, whenever we have sinned in such a way, we would be quick to realize it and detect it and quickly confess, all right, and repent and seek the Lord's forgiveness. We will not, you know, just let it by and think nothing of it and think that it's okay. Because the Spirit that is within us will convict us, will prick our hearts, our minds, our conscience. And when we hear ourselves, you know, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, did I just say that? This is something I shouldn't say at all. How I wish I can take all these words back. I'm so sorry to have said all these things. Have we felt like this before? If we have, then that's good. And our hearts must be very sensitive to the things that we speak or that we say. We have to hear ourselves and also examine ourselves, and then make sure we tune our words to the very words of God, that our words would be in agreement with God's word. Or else, corrupt words will only bring about not only our own destruction, but also the destruction of others. So corrupt words, we know, proceed from a corrupt heart. Bad words stem from a bad spirit, right? And that's why we are told in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It is only when we have a Christ-like heart of charity, filled with kindness, filled with gentleness, filled with forgiveness, that we will find ourselves having the ability to speak in an edifying way. And not only that, we are able to control our tongue, which by nature is very wild, very hard to tame, the Apostle James tells us in his book. But we must tame our tongue. And in order to tame our tongue, we must tame the sinfulness that is in our heart. By the strength and help of the Holy Spirit, through the sanctifying influence of God's Word. And the more we know God's Word, that's why the Lord Jesus pleaded with the Father, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth, so that when we are filled more and more with the truth of God's word, and our hearts are cleansed, our minds are transformed, then our tongue also, right, will be bridled. We are able to control our tongues. We know what words to say, what words not to say, when to say it and when not to say it, you see. And that's why James chapter 3, verse 2 and 13 tells us, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And I confess that I'm still learning. Not easy to control the tongue. Very, very difficult. But in order to control the tongue, so that what we say would be edifying, would build up, would heal, right? We must first master our hearts. And the only way whereby we can master and control our hearts is by the Word of God, by being filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. Then, and only then, can we do it, right? And so corrupt speech would also include cursing and swearing, using vulgarities, and cracking dirty jokes, making racist remarks. That's also corrupted speech, corrupt speech. May we not curse and swear, use bad language or vulgarities? May we not crack dirty jokes, neither enjoy hearing these things or making any racist remarks? For these words are corrupt words because they seek to demean, degrade, and discriminate. They are destructive words. Christians ought not to be characterized by such words. They do not contribute anything to the well-being of the other person. Okay. And that's why verse 31 tells us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now here the word bitterness has the idea of a person who uses his words, uses his speech like a razor blade to cut, to slash, right, to kill. As bitter speaking, using our tongue like a razor blade, using cutting words to hurt, to injure, and to kill. May we not use our tongue like this. That would not be edifying speech, but destructive speech. And then the word wrath here has the idea of fury, right? We are filled with fury and strong feelings of animosity, antagonism, feelings that will result in uncontrollable outbursts, right? That one we must make sure we put away, all of these things, bitterness, wrath. And then the word anger here refers to feelings of hatred that we allow to simmer within ourselves, right? To allow all these bad feelings, hateful feelings, to simmer, to boil, and then it will reach a boiling point where it will explode, right? Explode. And then we express ourselves. When the explosion takes place, we express ourselves with all kinds of murderous, right? Murderous words. And that's why we are told in verse 26, it warns us, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't go to bed or to sleep an angry man. Make sure you make your peace with God. And if you are angry with someone, quickly ask the Lord for grace to forgive. There's such a thing as unilateral forgiveness. The other person who has hurt you or wronged you may not even be sorry about it or may not have apologized. But you yourself must be ready, and you must take the first step to forgive the person already. Unilateral forgiveness. Then you make peace with God, and you make peace with man too. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you allow all these angry feelings to, and the spirit of unforgiveness and of hatred to sit there, right, to simmer and to boil, it will explode. And the outcome will be disastrous, right? Take note of this. Clamor. How about clamor? Clamor here is losing one's temper that will lead to yelling and screaming, right? Clamor. You speak and yell and scream like a madman. That's not edifying at all, okay? So evil speaking here refers to slanderous, right, and blasphemous words. Words you speak against God and against man. And malice, of course, produces words aimed at hurting or harming others. Let us put all these things away. They are not edifying at all, okay? So as Christians, our speech should be pure and sincere and aim to protect the hearer and provide him with the knowledge and the wisdom he needs to improve himself. That's what it means to love thy neighbor as thyself. You think of his well-being. You think of his health. You think of his spiritual growth. And then you say things that will encourage him, that will build him up. And the things that are not right in his life, gently, patiently, all right, without a self-righteous attitude, correct and warn him, right? From the scriptures. Many a time when we want to correct someone, it's always helpful to open the scriptures, right? So that the person might be led to the scriptures themselves, to read the word of God itself. Because don't think it's me saying this thing. This is God saying. God is speaking to you. And I just want you to realize this, you see. So that he might be corrected, right? And he might be built up and be reconciled to God. And the Apostle Paul says this in Colossians 4 verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer, how you ought to answer every man. How we need the wisdom of God, right? Speak the right word in the right way at the right time. which will edify, which will build up, which will cause a person to draw close to the Lord, be reconciled to Him, to turn from the error of his way, you see, and to improve himself spiritually. That is edification. That is edifying speech. In another place, in Ephesians 4, 15 to 16, Paul says, "Speak the truth in love, so that we may grow up under him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Okay. So let us be characterized by edifying speech. And it's something we need to learn and train ourselves to do. And the more we know God's word, the more we apply God's word in our lives and seek to obey God's word and walk, all right, in the Spirit and mature in our faith, the more we will see our tongue being transformed. And our speech will be more and more edifying, more pleasing to God, as well as pleasing to man. In the right sense, all right? Not to tickle their ears, but rather to prick their hearts, so that their conscience might be exercised, that they would draw near to the Lord. So edifying speech is truthful speech and uncorrupted speech according to the scriptures, as we learn here from Ephesians chapter 4. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, help us. Help us to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in our speech, and how many words come out of our mouth, and sometimes many of these words are destructive, not only to ourselves but also to others. Help us to speak words that would edify, would build up, which means words that will cause us to draw near to Thee, to honor Thee, to worship Thee, to glorify Thee. Words that Jesus Himself would speak and say, and words that would build up others, to cause them to have the highest view of God, to have the highest view and the greatest love for Christ and His Word. Help our speech to be like this. We need Thee to help us. And we know, Lord, that by Thy Spirit, these things are possible. We are able to do this as Thy children. So help us to obey Thy word, Thy commandment, which is so good for us. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.